This is 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition. I'm Howard Wilkinson with Jay Hanselman. And coming up in about 20 minutes, Jay will be interviewing Vice Mayor Roxanne Qualls, who chairs Council's Livable Communities Committee, and Kevin Wright, the Executive Director of the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation, about form-based codes, which some say will revitalize neighborhoods and spur economic development. But now we continue our discussion of voter fraud in Hamilton County with two members of the Board of Elections, Republican Alex Trianafilou and Democrat Tim Burke. You can join in the discussion by calling us at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. Let's go back, gentlemen, to these nomads for a moment that we were talking about. There are 22 of these people. They apparently live in their motorhomes, RVs. They travel the country almost constantly. And at least in some cases, they pick up their mail at this Round Bottom Road address. They're allowed to stay there for a few days. They have their RVs worked on and serviced, and then they move on. But they use these as their voting addresses. Now, my understanding is that the former Secretary of State, Jennifer Bruner, someone from her office had indicated that there was nothing wrong with this. And it's also my understanding that now the Secretary of State, John Husted, has yet to give you any guidance on this situation. What are you going to do?
Well, what we've done so far is we have are working on issuing a subpoena so we can get some more records from this group of RV nomads, as you call them, and just learn more about who these people are and where they're going. So I think where we are right now is we're just investigating the question further to evaluate what's appropriate. I mean, I will tell you that it's an interesting question, Howard, under the law, because if you are a nomad, you know, where ultimately should you be voting? Should you be voting in Hamilton County in Ohio? Should you be voting in one of the other places where you live? God forbid you're voting in multiple places, right? So it's an interesting question. It's a question I think that's new to us. We'll eventually have to come to some answer down at the Board of Elections.
In the past, our staff has in fact challenged voters at that address. We were then subsequently advised by the Secretary of State's office, as you indicated, that it was appropriate for them to be registered there. But the same person on the staff who on the Secretary of State staff who apparently previously gave that advice to our staff now says, investigate it, ask your prosecutor.
How would that compare if somebody, perhaps let's use me as an example, say I wanted to keep Ohio as my permanent address, but I had a job in Wyoming, California. Are you allowed to do that?
Actually, if you had the job in France, the answer is clearly yes. And we do have voters who live overseas and who are entitled to vote, but under certain circumstances, only in federal elections.
It's a little less clear when it comes to
being stateside.
Ultimately, it's where do you intend to return and have your domicile? You know, are you permanently in France or do you intend at some point to return? If you intend to return back here to Hamilton County, you're allowed to maintain your residence here and to vote here.
Again, if you have a question, we're talking about voter fraud in Hamilton County. And Frank is on the phone from Butler County. Frank, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to make a statement. Basically, as a voter, I think it's important for the board to investigate any fraud or any appearance of fraud. But I also feel, and I feel strongly about this, that our statements are being made, and there seems to be a trend in this country right now to create situations or fear to restrict access to voting in the future. And I think in the name of providing or preventing fraud, that we have a tendency to restrict or put limitations, and we're seeing this throughout a lot of states within this nation now to limit the access of voters. And that I'm more concerned with than maybe the one or two situations that are true fraud, but will get prosecuted.
Alex, it's more often that your party is accused of trying to suppress the vote. Maybe you could address this first.
Well, I'll say as politely as I can that that's nonsense. I mean, in Ohio, we have voter month plus. We can vote in Ohio for 35 days. We don't have election day. We have election month. We have an expansive number of hours to vote at the Board of Elections. You can vote from the comfort of your own home by simply requesting a ballot be mailed to you. It frankly has never been easier to vote in Ohio than it was in 2012 and that it is right now under our current law. I'll also tell you, Howard, that Republicans led the effort to expand voting rights for this period in the mid-2000s. So we think that sometimes that's been used as a political weapon against us. We don't share that view. We are interested in prosecuting voter fraud, of course. We've had several instances here of proven voter fraud. One person who admitted to casting six ballots in the last election, another person casting a deceased person's ballot. So there is fraud in the system. We think we ought to work in a responsible way to root it out. But the argument of suppression, of course, we wholly reject.
Tim? It took litigation this year, and it took calling Husted onto the carpet and making a national figure out of him to try and get equal access around the state to early voting hours. And finally, Husted said, everything should be equal. Only after some litigation did he ultimately say that. But now when it comes to an issue like the voter who casts an absentee ballot and a provisional ballot at their polling place on Election Day, Husted doesn't appear to be interested in uniformity throughout the state because only in Hamilton County and Franklin County are those folks being referred to the prosecutor's office.
Frank, we appreciate your call. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And Ray, you had a question.
Yeah, hi. I've been living out of my parents' house for 4 years now. I was in college. I've now graduated. I keep my permanent address at my parents' house, my driver's license. That's where my income tax refunds go and stuff. And I always vote in all the elections, primaries, local elections there. I have similar friends who do that who live in other places in the country, and they continue to vote from their parents' residence. How has that worked legally?
It depends on whether or not they intend to return to their parents' home. That would be the argument. Alex alluded to that earlier, and some of these things get very tricky. We have a son who's probably about your age who lives at home. There's a lot of nights when he's not living at home. But he does come back home on a regular basis, and that remains his voting address.
And, Ray, we appreciate the call. We have an email from Stuart said, if the address where you get your mail is not a good voting address, where should you vote from?
The homeless person, and we've said this for years, a homeless person may have their voting addresses under a bridge or on a park bench. I don't think we actually have any of those registered that way, but we do have plenty of folks who are registered from the drop-in center. It's the place where you intend to return.
And, you know, where you lay your head down at night, where you consider yourself living or domiciled under the law, that's the appropriate place.
And Ben from Cincinnati is calling with a question. Ben, go ahead. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, yes. I was wondering, I believe 2 years ago, Secretary Husted stopped mailing out applications for absentee ballots to all registered voters, which I believe used to be the case. And I was wondering if anybody on the Board of Education or, sorry, elections have heard if that's going to come back, or is that going to be something that is going to stop for this next election cycle as well?
Well, the way it worked, Howard, can I go ahead?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, the way it used to work, Ben, was some big counties were able to do it. Those counties with the resources were able to mail out an absentee ballot application. So in big counties, which frankly favored the Democratic Party because you've got urban centers where Democrats happen to live, those people were getting an absentee ballot request mailed to them. The other counties weren't doing that. Well, ultimately, after, you know, some political maneuvering on both sides, Secretary Husted did the opposite of what you think he did. He actually sent out an absentee ballot application to every single voter across this state. Again, further proof of how much easier we're making it to vote in Ohio. Every single voter got an absentee ballot application in the last election.
That's correct, but it took, as Alex alluded to, it took a real fight to make that happen. And Ed Fitzgerald up in Cuyahoga County was principally responsible for it because he took the position, okay, so our Board of Elections won't send out the ballot. The Cuyahoga County Commissioners will. And with that threat out there, Husted finally came up with the agreement that he would send them out statewide. What I don't think we know is what the intentions are for the future. Right now, our boards are under a prohibition from sending them out, which I think is a shame.
Again, it's never been easier, though, Ben, for you to get a ballot. You can go on our website and make a request.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about voter fraud with a couple of members of the Hamilton County Board of Elections, Republican Alex Triant-Filou and Democrat Tim Burke. You can join the conversation 513-419-7100 and also email us talk@wvxu.org. And Richard is calling from Northside. Hi, Richard.
Hello there.
Go ahead with your question.
Well, it's more a comment. I just want to be sure that we did it right. I'm a presiding judge at a precinct here in Northside, and one of the voters came in with her absentee ballot. And she said, what should I do? And so we said, all right, you got two choices. You can take that down to the Board of Elections before the end of voting today and give it to them, and that will take care of it. Or you can rip it up, throw it away, we'll give you a provisional ballot, and you can vote that. And so that was what she did.
You did it right. So that. You did it absolutely right.
Hey, Richard, can I add one other thing? And I think we agree on this one thing. Thank you for being a poll worker. And to any other listener who is a responsible member of our community here in Hamilton County who wants to really engage civically, and I don't care if Republican or Democrat, we're looking for qualified, great poll workers all the time. So
here,
give
here.
Us a call and let us know if you want to come in and work the polls, learn some sometimes complicated rules, but help us run the democracy here in Hamilton County.
What's going to happen with these 48 pending cases of people who are registered to vote either at postal service boxes or UPS box or some other private mail company? What's the outcome of that going to be?
Well, I think we're going to continue to look. I mean, we're investigating. I think it's early to say what the outcome is going to be. What I would do is I would just expand a little bit on what you talked about. We have certain people who have registered at not post office boxes necessarily at the post office, but at the UPS
yeah.
stores.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem because if you're getting mail there and, you know, we think you live there and you're casting a ballot in that precinct – for instance, you know, if you live in Green Township and you get one of these boxes in the city of Cincinnati, should you be voting on who's the mayor this year because of that being your address? We would say no. I mean, you're not a resident of the city. You ought to not be voting in the mayoral race. Those things are happening and have happened. It's a concern.
You would agree with that, Tim?
I do agree with the concern. We have other people who we know of who have registered for one reason or another at their place of work as opposed to registering at their residence. The same issue exists there. I'm not at this point ready to say those folks should be referred.
Are we talking about people who are like police officers?
In some cases, yes.
Yeah.
And police officers and prosecutors.
Because these are public records.
They have a right under the law to fill out a form, and their residential address will be taken off what's publicly available on their voter rolls, but they would be registered from the correct location. They should not be registered from their police station, if you will. And what we're going to do with those remains to be seen.
Let's see if we can get a couple more calls here. We've got lots of folks that want to ask questions. Nate is calling from Trenton. Nate, you're on the air.
Yes. My question has to do with the laws that are passed around, either to stop fraud or make elections easier for people to vote. It is my impression that we hear about these right before election. Is it the case that we are trying to pass these laws quickly in order to affect elections? I mean, or at least be politically motivated to talk about these? Or are they being brought up right after elections so we have a good amount of time to adjust these in a sensible way so that we can make either change the fraud or allow the elections to be easier for people?
You know, I I haven't seen any trend about when. Again, we could probably debate what the political motivation is of some of the change in these laws. So, again, the last major effort to change election procedure in Ohio actually was ultimately withdrawn. That was a couple of years ago. I don't think it coincided necessarily with any election. I think Tim may disagree.
No, I agree with you to the extent that I don't think the timing related to any particular election. There's constant talk, both by elections professionals and by members of the legislature from both parties, about what changes should be made in Ohio election law. But depending upon what party you are in, those members of the legislature are dramatically different in the changes that they believe are appropriate.
513-419-7155. Bill, you have a question? Hello, Bill. There we go.
I have a personal acquaintance with one of the people who is charged and convicted for voter fraud, Mrs. Richardson. And I want to make a comment about that, and is that, you know, she's been convicted, and she admitted to, you know, what she did in effect. But what I objected to was the fact that during the investigation process, the way the district attorney's office and other people, you know, issued press releases and tried to create this almost hysteria around what she was being charged with. And, you know, some media reports were written about her all over the country. I was looking at a blog, my hometown newspaper in North Carolina, there was an op-ed piece published. I mean, there was this concerted effort around the country to, like, demonize this woman. And the reason that it bothers me is that, you know, she's convicted and she should be convicted and face some appropriate sentence. But I think the way that the hype was handled around it, it lays the groundwork for her being sentenced to a prison term that, you know, that could be quite long. And I think that's an inappropriate way to deal with it. So I just object to the hype around the prosecution of this person.
Well, here's the problem that we have. At the board, we've tried to conduct ourselves in a very transparent and public manner. And our meetings are always open. They're open to the press. They are open to the general public. And frankly, when her situation developed, one of the television reporters from Channel 9 went out and interviewed her. And she was very open about what she had done. And that television interview went viral, so to speak. And I think that's what generated an awful lot of the attention, both locally and nationally.
Bill, I would just add that, you know, anybody who commits a high-profile felony subjects themselves to that kind of coverage. And I also agree that she opted to go on camera in a rather bold fashion and make some very kind of inflammatory statements that ultimately drew attention to her before anyone else drew attention to her.
And the one other thing that I would point out is when she was subpoenaed to come before the board, we worked with her attorney so that in the end, while she came to the board honoring her requirement to do so under the subpoena, we did not require her to testify at the board.
And frankly, we could have asked her to step up and take the Fifth Amendment and assert her Fifth Amendment privilege in front of cameras in the news, but we didn't.
Right.
Bill, we appreciate the call. And gentlemen, that went by quickly. We're out of time. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we've been discussing the subject of voter fraud in Hamilton County. Our guests have been two members of the Hamilton County Board of Elections, Republican Alex Triana-Filou and Democrat Tim Burke. Coming up next, Jay will be interviewing Vice Mayor Roxanne Qualls, who chairs Council's Livable Communities Committee, and Kevin Wright, the Executive Director of the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation, about form-based codes, which some say will help turn around Cincinnati neighborhoods and kickstart economic growth. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.